Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
With the Giants, you know, the expectations going into yesterday's game was a lot of people thought this was going to be a bounce back game for them. Or not a bounce back, but continuation of what they did against the Chargers and go out there and get their season back on track. And obviously that was not the case. But you're going to start to hear it. You heard Boomer talking about it this morning about, oh, people are going to want Dable fired. And you and I have talked about this ad nauseum for a while. It is setting up to where the Giants are going to be in a situation where they're probably going to make the same mistake that we saw coming a mile away. And that's something I would not do. And that is judging Dable now on the wins or losses and moving on from him. You have to understand it's a rookie quarterback. Those type things are going to happen. Okay, you lost to a team maybe you thought you could beat. Not so much. Saints get the win down there, but I would still just evaluate and be patient and treat it as almost if it's year one with Brian Dable and a rookie quarterback.
I think you got to separate a couple things here, Sal. Number one, without Malik Nabers, I mean, this season's going nowhere. I mean, I understand that there was a lot of excitement going into the game. The Giants were, in the eyes of some, supposed to win, certainly had a good chance to win, should have won. I mean, I'm talking about going into the game. Once you saw most of the game, you say to yourself, Giants got to find a way to finish this game. And if they would have done that, now you're 2-3, getting ready for the Eagles, kind of, you know, clustering near 500. There's legitimate hope. Like, when I say you got to separate everything, you got to separate the coach, you got to separate the quarterback. My problem is with the defense yesterday. Like, this is what I just don't understand about the New York Giants. Like, one week it's there, one week it's invisible, and I don't know why. I don't think Brian Dable's a good head coach. I've said that forever. I would not have brought him back this year. But, like you say, I'm also willing to give him and Jackson Dart a chance to grow together. So it's not about firing Dable today. It's not about Dart is a stiff or what. No, Dart's going to be a stud. I've got a lot of belief in Jackson Dart's moxie, his skill set. The problem is there's still too many holes with the Giants team. And even if they would have won yesterday, where are they going?
Yeah.
Where?
Well, at least if they would have won, you could have said, all right, well, let's see what they can do. Build off of it. Now, there are two separate issues. You're right about the defense, a sackless performance from the Giants defense. That just can't happen. They're supposed to be built on their defense. The problem is, over the Dable and Shane regime, too many times we've come in here on a Monday and said, well, that's a game where they could have won if they did this, if they did that. They could have, should have, would have. Here we are in year four, and they're still losing those type games. I am going to separate the two because I think it's imperative that you do that. If you were in the belief of firing Brian Dable, and we both talked about this going into last year, that's fine. Then you should have done it and had a new regime pick a quarterback. They didn't. They decided to stick with Brian Dable. So for me, I'm going to evaluate this as it's Dable and Jackson Dart. And so far in two games, the offenses look competent.
Yep.
I'm not looking at them. It's encouraging with the offense. You expect, okay, Scadaboo is well to fumble. Slayton stinks. He can't fumble the football. Like, get him out of here. I've had enough of him. Him running this match, he stinks. Slayton's not a NFL receiver. I'm sorry. I don't care who has to hear it. How many films you need to break down. Darius Slayton should not be a receiver in the NFL, let alone a top receiver because Nabers goes down.
Yep.
End of story. He's just not good enough. We've watched it for how many years? Not good enough. Period. Scadaboo's a rookie, so that's going to happen, and he's frustrated by it. The guy runs his rear end off. Mm-hmm. Fumbles happen. You give the defense credit, poking the ball out of there. And Jackson Dart was to blame for three of the turnovers. And again, and some of that's on a rookie receiver not running the right route. Some of it's on the rookie quarterback. That's going to happen. So if I'm just choosing to ignore all that's happened with Daboll prior, because I think you have to in this particular case, let's evaluate Daboll with his young rookie quarterback, Jackson Dart. And I think offensively, at least it's looked better than anything I've seen with since Brian Daboll's taken over here.
See, it has. I mean, you look at the Giants coming out of the chute the last couple of weeks here. They're moving the football. They're getting points first drive, second drive. They're showing a flow. So whatever they're doing during the week is transferring to the early parts of Sunday, and then you play a 60-minute game, and the other components that they're clearly lacking start to rise up. And obviously yesterday, just the coughing it up a ridiculous amount of times, they're nowhere near good enough on the road to overcome, even against a bad Saints team. I guess we're saying the same thing on some level here. I guess where I'm going to splinter off a little bit, even if Dart continues to look good, and I believe that the Giants have the quarterback of the future, to what extent, right. I don't know. I don't really know, but I do believe that Jackson Dart is the starter next year, the year after that, right. And the year after that. I think they got the right kid. He's got an arm. He's got wheels. He's got a good body. He's got men follow him.
Right. Grown right
men
attitude,
follow
yeah.
him. The right attitude. I think he's built for New York. I think he's built to help elevate the New York Giants. I truly do. But even if he plays well, and like the other components, even though the way the Giants constructed their game day roster yesterday, the way Brian Daboll talked about that at the postgame press conference, like, I don't believe, even if Dart shines and plays well, that they have to be married together.
See, that's,
I'm not of that mindset.
Yeah, that's where we will, because now you're getting yourself
into, I don't think Daboll's good enough to say that, like, around across the board. You know what I mean? And I get it. That relationship is certainly paramount and first and foremost to the evolution of the Giants. But if there's other aspects of Brian Daboll's coaching, which I don't believe in at all, then I'm not going to let that supersede everything, just him and Dart. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. And it's a fair take. I just disagree with it because the Giants have done this before. We've seen them do this before. They did it with the prior regime. How many times over with Daniel Jones? Forced Daniel Jones on Brian Daboll. He had success the first year, but failed after that. Now he finally has his own guy, and I'm afraid that they're going to judge him based off of the win-loss record and then move on from Daboll and potentially Shane, and then it's going to be all about Jackson Dart with a new head coach. That is not, to me, the recipe for success. So I understand what you're saying, BT, and I understand the Giant fans who are saying, Daboll, I've had enough of him. He can't coach, blah, 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 blah. Unfortunately, once they made the decision last year to retain Joe Shane and Brian Daboll and then select Jackson Dart, that means they're married for at least another year together. That's the way that I would do it. I think they have to show patience and discipline here. You're seeing something like Giants football has been putrid for a long time. Giants football with Brian Daboll outside of that year one aberration has been even more putrid, certainly offensively. That has not been the case with Jackson Dart. They're moving the football. They're scoring more touchdowns. Is it enough? No, but to me it is a step in the right direction, and I'm not willing to blow it up just because the defense isn't getting it together.
Yep.
Factor in some of the injuries, also because of what Dable's done before. I would not. I'm looking at this, right or wrong, I am looking at this year one, Brian Daboll, Jackson Dart, and see what they can do.
Okay, let me ask you this. I know Giant fans want to jump in. We'll obviously get the calls. We'll get to the Yankees, of course. So, to me, think about what we've watched Giant football, what it's been for years. I mean, couldn't score, boring,
yeah.
Just nothing. So it feels better, and aesthetically, certainly the first couple of the drives look better. Giants moving the ball, and Dart is, and obviously the coach, they have a good relationship with this, is a big piece of the puzzle why they look better. Dart, okay? But what if he levels off a little bit? Like, what if the opening drives start to fade and the juice, and I don't even know that it will.
You saw the yesterday in game.
It's true, and I just think as the year goes on, without Malik Nabers, it's going to get tougher and tougher and tougher and tougher and tougher. So I ask you, and I get your concept, like, if Dart's showing promise, then this is the next, you have to at least go into next year with Daboll and Dart. I understand right. that. Like, I get the concept. I just don't think that Dable's distinguished himself enough in the other areas for myself to marry that concept. But we're also reacting to pretty good Jackson Dart early. What if it becomes average the rest of the way? You're still going with Daboll?
Well, let's see. That's
so up for evaluation still.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we could tie the Jets in here for a second. You're right, we get to the Yankees. Obviously, a lot to get to from yesterday. We're in evaluation mode. I told you with the Jets, I'm not, now we had a difference of opinion on that. I am not judging Aaron Glenn based on the record. We could get into, you know, it's worse than beyond the record, whatever it may be. This is year one. What we do here in this town that to me is incorrect is overreact to wins and losses when you should know better. You certainly should know better with the Jets and a rookie head coach. Like, what'd you really expect? And then in this particular case with the Giants, once they made the decision to go to Jackson Dart, for me, this season, wins, loss-wise, off the table. It should have always been anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, Russell Wilson, come on. Do you really think the Giants are going to be a playoff team? No. So they made the decision to go to Jackson Dart. Now, wins and losses are off the table. We're evaluating for the first time Brian Daboll as a head coach with his hand-picked quarterback. We've seen two games. One they won against the Chargers in an upset that nobody thought was coming.
That beat a good team.
And one they had a big letdown, and that happens with a rookie quarterback having three turnovers. Like, that happens. It's two games. So Jackson Dart shouldn't be put in the Hall of Fame after beating the Chargers. Brian Daboll shouldn't be kicked to the curb. I know what you're saying. Like, if I'm judging Daboll on his resume, he shouldn't have had this year to survive. Like, he shouldn't have survived this year. He shouldn't have had this year to give another chance. But they did give him another chance, and he did pick his rookie quarterback. So I am not evaluating on the wins and losses. I'm evaluating on how he and Dart progress the entirety of the rest of the year.
I get it. I do. So we'll get the calls here. I look at Daboll, and I've seen some game day roster decisions which have been beyond head scratching. I know he's an offensive background coach. I see too often the defense is just absent.
Yeah.
And now that, you know, Shane put all those, so that's a Shane thing to an extent.
So I mean, they do have talent. I don't understand it.
That's what I'm saying here. So to me, there's not enough evidence that Daboll is going to be the kind of coach like a Coughlin, like a Parcells. There's no evidence of that, quite frankly, that the Giants will win a Super Bowl with Daboll. I get it with the Dart-Daboll connection, but to me, He's got a lot more to prove, and there's no way I'm sitting here saying, even if Dort plays well the rest of the year, that I'm absolutely bringing back Daboll. I'm not saying that.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We'll get to the Yankees coming up in a little bit. We mentioned the Jets a little bit, but we're starting with the Giants. Anthony's in New Paltz. What's up, Ant?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Good.
What's up, Ant?
Nothing. I'm just calling. I agree with you, BT. I think it's with Daboll, there's too many holes in his coaching in general. Even if we do see, Dart start to show more success, it seems like the common theme with Daboll since he's been in New York, and I know it's not necessary all on him, is inconsistency. I mean, Daniel Jones looked good at times under him. Then he looked awful. DeVito won some games, put up 30 points. And then now we see, you know, Daniel Jones in Indianapolis. I know the team is better than what he had in New York, but it seems like he doesn't really show like he has too much confidence in his players at times. Like, there was parts of the game yesterday where the sideline just looked dead, and we were still in it against the 0-5 team. And I think that's partially on Daboll. Like, you got to bring the whole team together, not just Jackson Dart.
Look, I get it. Thanks for the call.
That's his job.
It's impossible to defend Brian Daboll on his resume since he's been here. I am choosing to ignore that for the betterment of their future, where I want the head coach and quarterback to be on the same page. Think about it. You fire Daboll at the end of the year. They're not going to fire him in season, I wouldn't think, even if it gets bad.
Probably not.
You fire Daboll. Now you're chasing again. Like, who's the head coach you're going to bring in? You're going to go get John Gruden because he loves Jackson Dart? And that's, by the way, one of the more experienced guys out there. And I highly doubt the Giants would do that. Well, then we're going to be down the same road again. Okay, well, new head coach, rookie head coach, or see what happens with the quarterback that he didn't pick. And then if Dart throws a couple of interceptions in the first few weeks, next year he's going to be like, well, Tankathon is on. He didn't pick Jackson Dart. Maybe Jackson Dart doesn't have it. Like, we've seen this script coming a mile away. That's why I know it's impossible to defend Brian Daboll. Look at his record. We know that. We watch the game. We watch the teams every week. However, I do think, BT, that it would be the right thing for the organization at least one more year. What, you've come this far. What's another year beyond this year? Let's just watch how this year plays out. It's week five, for goodness sake. Week five. Let's play this year out, see what happens at the end of it. I would bring them back at least one more year together.
I know how it's going to go. I mean, they're not going to beat the Eagles. They're going to get drilled by good teams. They'll probably lose a couple of games that they shouldn't. I mean, who knows how many games the Giants are going to be favored the rest of the year. Maybe one, maybe two. So I don't think we're not going to be in a surprise here. We could take this to the bank. We'll be sitting here in December. Giants will have three or four wins. Like, Giants are going absolutely no. Without neighbors, they have no shot. And to me, like, it's even the 8 accepted penalties, 100 yards, man. Like, that is part of coaching. That is on Brian Daboll. You know, and the other thing that I see here, Sal, and I get it, and I really do. Like, when you brought Dable back, you basically brought him back for 2026 as well, in the eyes of many,
right?
Because of
we
the relationship.
About that, a lot, yeah.
That was probably the biggest theme for us,
right,
as we diagnosed what awaits the Giants here, right? But the issue for me, or actually a good thing for me, is that I think that Jackson Dart, as an early read, admittedly, is resilient enough to deal with a coaching change. Like, I don't think that he's so dependent on Brian Daboll to hold Brian Daboll's hand and, you know, have these Brian Daboll training wheels, that if the Giants made a decision for the betterment of the entire franchise that they were going with a different coach, that the young quarterback couldn't adjust. I believe that he absolutely could.
Me neither. I'm not sure if he could handle it or not, but that's not the number one reason for me. You also want to build a culture of, you know, continuity and have some sustainability as opposed to keep turning it over. So now you're going to have, let's say, a rookie quarterback who was drafted by Shane and Dable.
Yeah.
And after 1 year of losing, they're going to fire, just say hypothetically, Dable and potentially Shane as well. Now you have the rookie quarterback who was drafted by another regime sitting in a losing organization because they just fired everybody that he knew, bringing in a whole new group of people, and they're going to be judged immediately in year two of the rookie quarterback. Like, to me, it just comes down to, and I understand the side of it, you believe in Dable as a head coach or not, and if you don't, and there's plenty of reason not to, you value that more than just keeping some continuity at least for another year. I would value, even though I know he hasn't been great as a head coach, value keeping the continuity for at least one more year.
See, to me, continuity for continuity purpose makes no sense. If you are not even average, I mean, we wish the Giants were average. If you are substandard multiple years in a row, that is not continuity that I'm looking to keep. I'm actually looking to get away from it. Though, again, I understand what you're saying. I also think, and I wasn't sure about this, even though I liked what the Giants did moving up to get Dart and Carter at number three. We love their draft. I also think that what Dart's already put on tape, that, and it's early, I get that, but if they did move on from Dable, that it would be an appealing job for an established coach, because I think it's very easy to look at Dart and say, he's going to be good. I want to coach that young man.
Fair enough. But think about this, BT. It's week five.
But it's not. It's really week 55, because Dable's been here forever.
But they played two games together.
Yeah, so, no, I know.
Dable's coached two games with Jackson Dart as a starter.
I know.
Like, there's a whole slate of games left this season. Maybe definitively we know, and I'm with you at the end of the year, and like, you know what? It's so bad. I don't care about the continuity. I don't care who picked him. You've got to change it. Maybe it's not. And I have reason to believe that based off of the first two games, that it does feel better with Jackson Dart under center for Brian Dable than it did before. John is in Valley Stream. What's up, John?
Guys, for my sanity and my good health, we got to stop talking about Dable. He's irrelevant. He's a middling coach. Keep him. Get rid of him. Who cares? Joe Shane is a moron, a ghetto bum level moron. We can't keep doing this and talking about the wrong things here. What talent has this man brought into this team? The answer is nothing. What has he done? And we're still talking about Dable.
Well, Dable's the head coach, Sean. So to me, that's, you know,
who brought him in?
We've gotten into Joe Shane. So I'm not sure what, like, you want to say.
No, but he's the only conversation, and you're missing that.
No, he's not.
Because Dable doesn't matter.
John, first of all, John, it takes a while. You don't want to hear this. It takes a while for a general manager to fully have his imprint on it.
4 years!
Yeah, okay, it's 5 weeks into year four.
No, but did you have draft classes? This is insanity.
How many quarterbacks has Shane taken?
How many quarterbacks?
In the drafts.
Quarterbacks, yeah. Do I stutter? How many quarterbacks has Shane taken, John?
You don't stutter, but you're insane today.
How many quarterbacks?
Big deal. He can't fill out a roster. Are you blind?
I'm not saying he could or not. I'm saying you're looking in the wrong spot. You're a Giant fan, John?
On the wrong spot? The 2023 draft.
Are you a Giant?
One player.
Are you a Giant fan?
No. I'm calling you because I'm a Bills fan.
I'm asking you. Okay. I'm asking. Well, then you.
I need to state the obvious now?
Okay.
Or
yeah.
Is this going to go completely bonkers?
I'm going to ask you another question. Do you like Jackson Dart?
You want to stay with these two guys for another year? I mean, what's your mind?
Do you like Jackson Dart, John?
I don't know if I like Jackson.
Okay, and I can't do it anymore.
See, to me, you have to, John, I appreciate the passion. I get it. But you got to have an opinion on Dart early. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to remain married to it. That's a pretty easy question. Do you like Jackson Dart? I mean, I could sit here and rifle off 10 things about the Giants that we don't like. Right. The one thing, you know, and maybe maybe one or two other little things, is that Jackson Dart shows real promise. So it's not even about Shane for what you and I are starting the show with here.
Right.
It's about the relationship and the promise in a small sample that the head coach, who at times has seemed overwhelmed here, and the young quarterback who has not, if that's a good marriage, you don't want to blow it up. What I'm saying is, so far, and again, could it change by the end of the year? I guess anything could. I just think the Giants are picking top five again. I think the Giants win three or four games, so I don't think I'll change my opinion. But if Dart goes bonkers without Neighbors, and they, even if they don't win a lot, but they put up points and they move the football and they look buttoned up and they're going in the right direction, then I will man up and I will say, you know what? I do think that Dable's probably good for Dart, and despite the deficiencies, I would bring him back. But right now, I'm not feeling that at all.
And by the way, BT, for the record, it's not like I'm some Joe Shane supporter. I'm not. As a matter of fact, I would have sided with Brian Dable prior to Joe Shane. The problem is, first of all, the Giants keep talking about how they loved his draft last year, this year.
Every year they tell us.
And it's more likely, I would bet, at least it was a year ago, and I would bet still now, and I think Pat Leonard said this with us recently, it's more likely that they keep Shane
and fire Dable.
Then the other way around. And I'm not saying that that would be right. All I'm saying is I would evaluate this as if it is year one. And by the way, it does take time. So like, you just want to get into this. GM search! Fire him! Okay, fire him. Just like you did all the 15 guys before. What do you think is going to happen? They're going to hire another guy. They're not going to win right away. It's going to be GM stinks! GM, fire him again. Look at the Jets. The Giants and the Jets are the same thing. It's the same thing every time. Every time. 2-3 years in. Fire this guy. Fire that guy. Bring in somebody else. Is it them or is it the actual organization? That's the deeper issue. All I'm saying that is in this particular spot, you finally have what we've waited for. A general manager, a head coach, to have their quarterback. And the young quarterback in two games has shown some promise here. I just want to see it through. That's it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's a tough conversation, BT. We're down the same road. This is so predictable here. That's why I just, look, and this is basically evaluation mode. We don't know. I could sit here today and say, I am riding with Dart and Dable, and I want to see what they can do the rest of the year and then probably next year as well, because I think then that's a proper evaluation. You would know definitively, much like we talk about a starting pitcher, you know, take him out when he gets knocked out.
Yep.
Well, right now, I think the jury is still out on Brian Dable and Joe Sheen. Obviously, it's not favorable to those guys, although they did make the postseason in year one. But for me, the true evaluation comes when they select their quarterback. So it's year one, two games into their quarterback getting a start. I just need to see a little bit more before I would want to move on and then start a whole new mess of things where you have certain things in place and then a new GM that it's going to take 3 or 4 years to see his roster and a new head coach and how many years we got to evaluate him. That's where I'm at.
I will tell you one way I feel very good about Brian Dable. If you took his coaching record and completely flipped it, then I would feel great, because then there would be incremental progress. So he's got one win so far this year, 3 last year, 6 the year before that, and then obviously 9. Now you move it in the wrong direction, but what's really happened is he won 9, then he won 6, then he won 3, and now he's at 1, and I probably think be in the neighborhood of 3 again. So it's not all his fault. I'm not saying that. I just don't see a disciplined team. I don't see a smart team. I do see some talent in certain spots. I don't think that it's completely devoid of talent, which is even less less reason for me to have conviction in Dable. Like there's just, like, the Titans don't, even though they won.
Yeah.
That was crazy. They don't have a lot of talent, right? The Jets defense has almost no talent in terms of the secondary. And I'm not making a pass for Glenn here, but, like, the Giants, I believe, just have more difference makers than the Jets. It's close, but I think that they do. So to me, when you're just among the worst teams consistently in the NFL, I'm not getting on a chair and saying, I believe in this guy, because I don't.
Would you keep Shane?
I'd clean house. I'd get rid of them both.
Right. I mean, just to play to the last caller's point, like, we've talked about it before. Yeah, well, that's one thing definitively I would never do. I would never. I don't even want to move on from those guys now, even though I would have fired them before they drafted their quarterback. Mm-hmm. But the last thing I would want to do is fire one and keep the other.
No.
Meaning fire Dable and keep Joe Sheen. Never I would do that. All right, let's get back to the calls here. Brad is in Mineola. What's up, Brad?
Gentlemen, happy Monday, said nobody after all the stuff the New York fans went through yesterday.
Yep.
But I will tell you this. I think when it all comes down to it and you look at it brass tacks, the game against the Chargers was great. The defense played well. The first two drives yesterday were absolutely incredible. Looked like the team was on a roll and going to win 2 in a row going into the Philly game on Thursday. Now, what happened and what I pointed to is 2 really bad drops, the flea flicker and then the other pass to Slayton, which, by the way, he shouldn't be on the field. That's another thing with the only options we have. We lost the game because of rookie mistakes and because a Saints defensive end was able to get the ball away from Cam Scadaboo. And a game we should have won, we lost, but I'm putting it down to rookie mistakes. And these two guys are absolute animals. And I look forward to watching them every Sunday, meaning Cam Scadaboo.
So do we, and so do I. I just want a better coach coaching them. I agree. I love Scadaboo, and I love Dart.
Oh, BT, I agree with you. I agree with you, but the one thing I'm going to say about that, and I know you keep saying get rid of Dable, get rid of Dable, get rid of Dable. Last year we lost Andrew Thomas. Obviously, that took a hit to everything that we had. This year, we now lost Malik Nabers. The Giants had to play 2 defensive ends yesterday. Every single play.
Mm-hmm.
Bellinger and Johnson were the game plan. Besides Scadaboo running the ball up the middle and Jackson Dart doing his thing.
I know.
You have to adapt, and it seems like they adapted, but obviously rookie mistakes did us in yesterday.
They were moving the football. You can't win with 5 turnovers. End of story. Like, and that's on the rookies. I mean, that's on the rookies. Scadaboo would have, on Slayton, who shouldn't be on the team. To me, he's so overrated. I shouldn't say overrated, but I never was a fan of Darius Slayton before. This is going back years. I mean, we've watched him for years here. There's no way. And he talks a big game, and it's, oh, he's the pro, and he's been here a while. He's terrible. He's not an NFL wide receiver. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be disrespectful. He's just not. They needed him to step up, and he fumbles the football. It may be the worst mistake of the game yesterday. You could live with some of the rookie mistakes. You cannot live with that. Inexcusable. The one thing I would say, though, too, about the defense, BT, because they were moving the football, those mistakes cost them. The defense, to me, is just not aggressive enough. They need to be an attacking defense. I don't know if it's just sitting back and relying on those guys to go get them, whether it's Burns or Kayvon, obviously Carter or Dexter to do his thing. Like, the secondary's not great. Sure, they have some players there, but their defense is not, for all the names that they have and all the talent that they have, they should be a swarming defense that wreaks havoc in the backfield.
Yep.
And they have not done that, period.
I mean, how many times have we sat back and watched the Giants defense, you know, obliterate somebody's game plan? The answer is basically never. You know, strip sacks and, you know, pick sixes and housing fumbles. I mean, you don't see any of it.
Right.
And if you have a bad defense, that's understandable. But when you have a defense with some electric, like high-level electric talent, like we've talked a lot about Kayvon. Kayvon's taken a nice step this year. He looks better to me all around. So to me, and we know all the other names. We don't need to just spit them out all the time. Mm-hmm. But when you have all those names, you have first-round picks, you trade for Burns, you give him a contract, I mean, and the defense still doesn't really do a whole lot, well, that's just unacceptable. So there's a lot of issues with the Giants. Dort seems to be one of the big answers moving forward. But I think they're going to get pummeled by Philly. I don't see, even like the game when the schedule came out, even like you look down the road, well, the Patriots, yeah? Giants going to beat the Patriots this year? Really? You see the game last night? I mean, who are the Giants beating? And if they don't beat anybody, which I'm not so sure that they will, and they go 3-14, I don't know how you justify bringing back the coach. I could not do that.
Mario calling from Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
Nope.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good show, as always.
Hey.
Little thing on the Giants. I think I like Dart, but I got a real problem. I think he's got to be careful the way he runs. He's going to get hurt. He's taken too many hits. He needs to understand how to play a little better. Maybe that'll come with time, but we have to be careful about that with this guy, you know?
Well,
he runs too, and he takes too many hits.
I don't know what
you guys feel. I'll listen to your response.
Yeah, thank sure. You got it, Mara. Thank you. I'm sure, you know, I mentioned the Pats last night. I'm sure you guys were watching the game. You remember the play where Josh Allen had a pretty nice run, and he tried to deliver a stiff arm to the guy behind him. Do you remember that play?
No,
like he was going up
it.
The flats there. You know, sometimes you try to stiff somebody in front of you. Josh actually leaned backwards and tried to, you know, mush somebody behind him. Hey, if you're a buck that wants to run wild in the wilderness, nobody's changing you. And Josh Allen has that in him. I think Dart has a lot of that in him. Yes, you do want to learn when it's time to slide and when it's not. But one of the great things, or potentially really good things about Dart, is this energy and this toughness and this willingness to go in there and mix it up. And I don't know that if you strip that away from him, he's not Jackson Dart.
Yeah, also, you can't worry about injury. Quarterbacks who run more are more apt to get injured. That's a part of the NFL today. So many quarterbacks run. You can't just say, well, you got to protect him and prevent him from getting hurt. By the way, you could get hurt too just sitting back in the pocket. Look at Joe Burrow, who's been banged up, or others. Brock Purdy, all the other guys that are just pocket passers or more pocket passers that have gotten banged up. The thing that I loved about Dart, and they were talking about this on the broadcast yesterday, is that he says, they said he's got to learn to slide, which is understood. You have to be able to protect yourself. Running is good. Being smart is even better. But Dart said something that I've always believed in as a fan. Sliding on third down doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm going to run, I'm running to get the first down. After I get the first down, then I'll slide. But I'm not sliding on third down. I want the first down. And that's the right way to me. So you want to be smart about it and prevent injury, but you also want to play the game the right way. First and second down, you want to slide?
Mm-hmm.
Sure enough. Third down, that's not the time to be sliding.
You got to try to win.
Yeah, right.
You got to try to win. Move the sticks. I'm with you.
Cecil is calling from Franklin Square. What's up, Cecil?
Hey, guys. Great job as always. Just want to chime in. You kind of started touching on it just a few moments ago. Recently, I was listening to a former NFL great defensive player on a very popular podcast, the PBD podcast, and he was talking about his playing days, but how he eventually became the coach on the field and helping the defensive coordinator. I was thinking of, with this defensive team and the struggles with the Giants, there's no identity. I don't feel like there's an identity to the Giants like we used to have. And the name I'm going to just throw out there is someone like a Ray Lewis. He was talking about how he would go to the coach and say, we need to get this player out. We need to get this player in. This is where they should be. He would spend hours before and after practice, not training, but actually looking at tape, working with the coaches. And I don't want to say he could be an eventual head coach, but I think Shane Bowen, there was no identity in Tennessee. There was no results in Tennessee. And now we come here and we have no identity now. Ray Lewis, he's a leader of men. He can bring an identity, a passion and energy. It also kind of puts Dable in his place, because you could tell Dable doesn't like that kind of strong personality type A. He just kind of puts everyone else around him. So I think Ray Lewis, I want to throw his name out there in the ring. to become defensive coordinator and help the Giants reestablish an identity.
I mean, that's thanks for the call, Cecil. I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I'm saying it's an idea that, to me, is out there at the moment. Like, there may be a time, BT, where the Giants decide to fire everybody, and then you can talk about who you'd want in as the defensive coordinator. Maybe they keep everybody but fire Bowen. Like, that's a possibility as well. And then maybe you could bring up Ray Lewis. I would not go there. I think it's interesting, though, that Cecil would say that Dable likes to have he wants to be the alpha male. And I think that the head coach should be the alpha male. The problem is the Giants haven't had that much success since Wink Martindale, who also wanted to be the alpha male, since he left. And I still think that was the right move. Unfortunately, Dable hasn't had success without Wink.
And Wink was the real alpha male. I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, the Giants' success with Wink is undeniable. The Giants' success without Wink is also undeniable. So it's just cluttered, man. I mean, here we are again. It's just another one of these seasons that's going nowhere. The one difference, you know, optically, at least Giant fans, unlike the Jet fans, you get to sit down, you get to see, you know, what Dart is going to be. But other than that, there's just really not much to gravitate to. And I'm at the end of the rope with Dable. No disrespect. To me, he's not the guy, and he never will be.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Time for the Corona Lime Time highlight of the night.
Guerrero at the dish in a 2-1 count. He's looking to unload right here. 2-1. Pitch. He did. Deep drive left field. Grand slam.
Yeah, no doubt or no question. That's how it sounded here on The Fan. Of course, Dave Sims, Sousa Waldman, BT and Sal back with you. And a highlight, I mean, the bat flip, the where that ball went, the energy. I'll tell you, we don't really look at Toronto too often as one of these really good baseball venues. But, man, when they're packed and they're good, that place is pretty nuts.
I like the roof open. I've never been with the roof open before. But, yeah, that looked like one of the best atmospheres going in the postseason right now.
Just a horrendous, horrendous performance. So we'll throw the Yanks on the table here. You know, listen, Boone had a rough weekend. First of all, the explanations from Weaver post-game, I don't know what he's hinting at, pitching, tipping pitches, Toronto cheating, whatever he's trying to get at, I don't want to hear it. I would have left him in Toronto. Like, there's no way I'm letting Weaver pitch again. And if Boone does, he's nuts. I think to put, unless it's 12-2 Yankees, to put
like
Warren.
Like the Blackburn roll.
You're correct. Yeah. True. To put Warren in on Sunday and not even giving him a clean, fresh inning, coming in with two on after Fried was awful, Fried had nothing, is a really, really bad move by the manager. And the bottom line is this, Sal. Yanks ain't hitting. I mean, you look up and down the stats here. They're simply not. Their on-base percentage is 29%. They've got an OPS collectively, I mean in all games, not just the Toronto series, the Red Sox as well, of 630. They've had 50 strikeouts with 10 walks, and they've managed just three home runs. So the Yankees right now, and I know that it ain't over till it's over, but Toronto has owned them all year. The moves the Yankees, certainly up there, the moves the Yankees made since the deadline and some of the things that happened to Toronto, I thought that the first two games would look very different. They have not. The Yankees have looked atrocious.
I would say, though, the score got away from them. You and I have had this argument before when it pertains to the Mets last year in the NLCS. You would say, well, they're getting blown out. And I'm like, yeah, but that's a circumstantial thing. And I would say the same thing for the Yankees. Yeah, all right, the score, the combined score is an embarrassment, certainly for the Yankees, but there's a reason for it. Like, if it were a close game, Blackburn wouldn't be in there. Same thing with Warren. Well, like, what do you want Boone to do? His ace didn't have it. Max Fried, $218 million man, plan B. That's always told, oh, how great it is to go out there and get the ace. Hey, Max, you're getting paid $218 million not to win in the regular season against the Orioles or the Rays. This is what you're getting paid the big bucks for. I mean, Max Fried's got to go out there and show out, and he hasn't done that against the Blue Jays, who have had his number all year long. That, to me, is on the ace, not on the manager. What are you supposed to do after your $218 million man doesn't have it? Not to mention the offense. And, yeah, I'm looking at Aaron Judge. Single, 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 strikeout in a big spot, error in the outfield, strikeout in a big spot. Like, at some point, Aaron Judge actually going to have to get a big hit in the postseason. Not a single. Like, he's just, I'm sorry, he's held to a higher standard because of the expectations he himself set. So, I'm with you, BT. Overall, they were able to win the series against the Red Sox without really hitting. That's three games. And then you followed up in the two games in Toronto, the only time they hit was against crappy Blue Jay pitching.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you Savage mowed them down better than Clark Schmidt did to the Red Sox. That one, they literally couldn't touch him.
He was filthy. And then I saw a video earlier today where the Yankees double-A team was knocking him around over the summer because he made this really big jump. He started A-ball. Now, he was filthy, and that splitter, the Yankees were nowhere near, but then you contrast it to the at-bats of the Toronto Blue Jays. We played the highlight there. Obviously, Vladdy going top shelf. It was an absolute bomb, and that highlight was the Corona Lime Time highlight of the night, brought to you by Corona, the official cerveza of Major League Baseball. You're right about Aaron Judge. That's why I can't wait to have A-Rod on the show. He's going to join us at 1, BT and Sal, Alex Rodriguez, because he went through this a little bit before he finally cracked through in 2009. Remember, Torrey benched him, dropped him in the order. Mm-hmm. He went through it. Other great players have gone through it. But, you know, you're 30. You're almost in your mid-30s here. Time's ticking. And for him, the stats look good. It has been a soft postseason
right,
for Judge.
The stats look good because he's getting a lot of base hits. But as I was saying, after game one and certainly game two, and now even more so, a single is a win for the opposition with Judge. And then not even just the numbers, like in the big spot, the moment you're thinking, okay, well, here we go, base is loaded, he gets blown away. Like, that can't happen. All the singles would be fine if it were in addition to a huge hit, a game-changing hit.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a couple of moments, and the Blue Jays have got the best of him. So, I mean, look, I still think this series is far from over. But you can't get much worse than it's been in those first two games. I think it's going to have a totally different feel. I still don't trust the Blue Jays in the Bronx.
In New York.
Now, would I want my season on the line with Rodon? I would not.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think Cam Schlittler is going to do what he did to the Red Sox lineup, to this Blue Jays lineup? I do not. I think the Blue Jays are going to hit at least a little bit. They got a bunch of gamers. You've seen what kind of guys
they
could be. But I expect the Yankees bats. Dude, if the Yankees bats go out like this to the Blue Jays third and fourth, you know, there's going to be a bullpen game in here.
Mm-hmm. That game four against Schlittler. Yeah. Now, advantage Yankees on paper.
Yeah, exactly.
on paper.
So if the Yankees don't at the very least hit, I would be surprised here. I think there's a long way to go in this series. Yankees are going to be a tough out. So I would be surprised if it didn't go back to Toronto at this point.
Yep.
But the Yankees have been awful in the first two games.
I don't really know what I expect. I don't really think that they're just going to go bonkers and start ripping the cover off the baseball. Again, it's not like they had this amazingly prolific offensive performance against the Red Sox.
Right,
and then baseball settled in and they've gotten a little chilly the last two games. They didn't do anything against the Red Sox. Even Judge's base hit Who was that in left field who dove for the ball and couldn't come up with it? That wasn't even a hit.
Yeah. Durant.
Thank you very much. Right. Thank you. So, you know, there's a lot of issues here. I could understand. I could even reconcile as a Yankee fan. Game one, Gausman, better matchup against Teal, hadn't pitched in a while. All right, I don't know if I expected Toronto to win, but I thought they had a much better chance to win game one than game two.
They had to win game one, true.
And then it was lined up for game two, at least on paper. Big advantage Yankees, that got flushed down the chute. And it's also lined up on paper for the Yankees the rest of the way, but that doesn't mean that it's going to hold any weight here. And I'm not getting on Boone for Fried. You're right. I mean, when you give the baseball to somebody making $200 million, you got to be better than Max, who just did not have it. He was throwing 99, which he usually doesn't. His feel was off, and it happens. He's a human being. My problem with Boone was going to war in the situation that he went to him in. And that's, remember when we talked about whether it was Tong or McClain or the Mets young pitchers, like I was not, because we talked about maybe they'll become relief pitchers if the Mets get to the postseason. And what my stock line to Sal was, yeah, I'm not a big proponent of deviating for a young kid what they're used to. So the same thought applies to the Yankees. Warren hasn't pitched at all. You put him in with two out, nobody on, with two on and nobody out. I just think that was dumb.
In an unfamiliar situation.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the bulk of the blame is going to go on Max Fried in that spot. Hey, look, I also did not think, I mean, we're looking at this series prior thinking, oh, Max Scherzer stinks and Bassett might be hurt. I had no idea about this Yusavage kid.
Me neither. Not to this extent, no way.
Like, I never even heard of him before. And I mean, he was his third start or whatever it was in a big league.
Three or four, yeah.
He was as dominant as I've ever seen a pitcher be. Like I said, including Cam Schlittler's performance. That's what would worry me from a series perspective, not games three and four at home, where I expect the Yanks bats. And look, if they don't hit, they're going to go home. It's as simple as that. But I expect their bats to wake up a little bit here, and they do have the advantage pitching-wise, even though the Blue Jays have some bullpen arm, and I'm not sure about the Yankees' bullpen. Rodon's got to get the job done. Schlittler's got to get the job done. Facing Yusavage in a game five in that building, to me, would be the scary part of this.
That would be one of the scary parts, because then Max Fried would be on the mound if we get to game five. And he's been absolutely bamboozled up there in Toronto. He has been destroyed like batting practice. I just, the non-competitive at-bats by the Yankees is astounding to me. You go in there, swing at something in the dirt, strike one. Look at something on the black, strike two. I mean, the way the Yankees went down so meekly. I'm on the air, so I've got my TV on in my office with the sound down. I'm doing the Jets for some stupid reason, the stupid Jets podcast again. And I'm watching this, and I'm like, there is no way that they are going up there, strike one, strike two, strike three. But it was happening. I don't know that I've ever seen that. Even as good as Schlittler was, and as good as Garrett Crochet was in game one. What this kid did to the Yankees yesterday was embarrassing, and it's really been emblematic of these awful approaches by the Yankees since game one against Boston. Let me reiterate, five games, 50 strikeouts, 10 walks. This keeps up, Yanks are done, and then we have a different discussion.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.